Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth, and I've got Christopher John O'Shea here with me tonight.
For the full hour, sir. Good to be with you.
For the full hour, and we are on tonight as an open show. Last week was a guest, this week is an open show, and if you'd like to call in and ask a question and lead the conversation in the direction that's most beneficial to you, because you have a personal question you want to have answered, be it in income taxes or estates or investments or the markets or 401ks, IRAs, tax preparation, elder care planning, college planning. You know, if it's something to do with personal finance, we're here to help you. 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. If you'd like to call in and ask a question that would be the most helpful to you, we're here to answer your question. 410-922-6680. And as we always say, those that call in the earliest get the most attention to their question. So now would be the time to call in, 410-922-6680. And as you think about whether you want to call in, we'll talk about whatever we feel like talking about. And so, Chris, obviously the big topic of the day is the coronavirus, the stock market going, down a good bit. But, you know, nobody seemed to be too fearful when the stock market was going up like a rocket ship. But now that it's coming back down like a brick to some degree, not a lot, but it's down, down precipitously for the last couple days. 6.5% in 3 days?
Yeah, a little bit more. And I thought it was noteworthy that nobody really quotes the Dow averages anymore. It's always the S&P 500, the S&P 500. But when the Dow goes down 1,000 points, all of a sudden the Dow is important now.
Well, because that's the third largest point drop ever in the history of the Dow.
Right. Yeah, so. But from a percentage standpoint. You put it in terms of terms that you know very well. In 1987, when the market went down, could you imagine if the market went down 6,000 points?
Right.
Today?
Right. I understand. That's what would have, you know, the market drop in 1987 was 500 points on about a 2,700 market. That was a 20% drop that it took that day. So like you're saying, at 30,000 right now, it would have to go down 6,000, not 1,000, but 6,000. That would be a scary day, you know.
Yes.
I can, you know, that would
assuredly
be a day that you ought to sit back and take a good drink at the end of the day, you know?
So the market since October the 2nd went up about 17% through Thursday. And from 14 months prior to that, December 24th of 18, the market was up 44%.
Right.
People weren't, you know, and there was some volatility, certainly, during 19. But people weren't complaining over the last 4 months when the market was just almost blow off 17% almost straight up.
And that's what markets do, is markets go up and then they have a downturn. And typically you had a 20% or more downturn every 3 to 4 years. You haven't had one in this market since 2009. We've had 19.5% drop since then, but we've had not a
7%, right?
We haven't had a single absolute 20% decline top to bottom in this market since 2009. And you know, the market does that. It did it every 3 or 4 years. It went down 20% or more every 3 or 4 years.
And I would say what's even more noteworthy is what the bond market has done.
Yeah. Well, tell everybody about that. They need to know that.
Yeah. So the bond market, so the 10-year and the 30-year, the prices went all-time highs because the yields went to all-time lows. So the all-time low is like 190 and change on the 30-year. It broke through 180. And the 10-year, it was 1.325 was the low. It broke through that to down to 130. So, you know, those are – so stocks are down, bonds are up. Not a bad time to sell bonds necessarily. Will it go?
Will we go to negative? Will we go negative like the Germans and the Europeans did? You know, look, the coronavirus is predominantly is being exaggerated by all the media things right now. There's no doubt about that, because when you look at the facts of the coronavirus, it is a serious concern. Don't get me wrong. It's a serious concern. It's a contagious disease, but 80% of all the cases are relatively mild. 2% is the current, as best as anyone could tell, 2% is like the outset of deaths from the coronavirus. In other countries, in developed countries around the world, the death count could probably be as low as 0.7%, which puts it in line sort of with most flus. You know, right now, the flu count this year is what?
16,000 U.S. deaths.
16,000 U.S. deaths and about 15 or million people infected.
26 million and like 280,000 hospitalizations.
Right. You know, and so, you know, it's a serious concern. There's no doubt. It's an unknown virus, so they don't have the full understanding of it. They're working on vaccines. They may even have one out there at this point in time. But, you know, it's a serious issue, but it's more fear-based than it is fact-based at this moment in time. There's no doubt about it.
What you don't know for sure is its impact. Will the economic delay that's going on, people are in certain places in China, surely, you know, they're being sequestered. So purchases, activities being delayed, will that be permanently lost or just temporarily lost?
Well,
so in the market, when it's this high, it's looking for anything that's going to that whiffs of economic slowdown.
Absolutely. So you get quarantine of provinces of 100 million people. You get cities in Italy that are quarantined. You get people unwilling to go to work and factories. It's going to have a effect for a period of time, mm-hmm. but it will always prove to be a V-shaped situation. It's a sharp down. And then it's a very sharp up. And anybody who thinks they can predict how far this is going to go down and when it's going to recover and how fast it's going to go back up is fooling themselves. And so to be fearful of this market downturn under this situation at this point in time, I just don't understand it. But anyway, we're on an open show today. I do have one caller online. I'm going to go to them when I come back from this traffic report. But if you want to get online also, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. Right now, I got to go to traffic. Take it away, traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, president of the Financial Consulate and host of Money, Riches, and Wealth. So often a radio listener calls me saying, I've been listening to you for years and have been meaning to call. When they come in for their comprehensive financial physical, they say, I wish I had done this years ago. If you've been meaning to call and meet with us, then do not wait. Call now to learn more about our trademark financial physical. The financial physical is designed to be a comprehensive second opinion analyzing all your goals and objectives. Are you maximizing tax efficiencies? Will you be able to maintain your lifestyle in retirement? Is your portfolio properly allocated, or just a few of the many parts of the physical? The best part of our service is you get to see the final product before you decide if you want to pay for it. We do this to assure you we are not selling product, and we guarantee the physical to be truly beneficial. Do not wait any longer. Call 410-823-7283. That's 410-823-SAFE, or visit us online at financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
What is it about the Rocky theme song that you like so much nowadays? Anyway, he says, I think it's like the third or fourth time he's played it in the last week or two. Anyway, Nicholas in Elkridge, how can we help you?
Hey, Drew, this is a question that's always been on my mind.
Okay.
I was wondering, you know, you're always advertising your financial physical, and I was wondering, what is a ballpark cost for something like that? I'd like to know what I'm going to get into before I take a bite of it. And do you get to see you, or do you get to see one of your underlings? I was wondering if you could expand on that a little bit.
So the financial physical is something that Chris and I developed back in 1990. So we said, you know, we need a profession to model our financial planning, because the industry has been so sales oriented. We said, how does it get professionally oriented? And we said, doctors, you know, if you think about it, when somebody comes in for their physical health, the doctor looks everything over and tells you where your strengths and weaknesses are and what you can do to improve your situation. And we said, you know, hey, that's the perfect model for what a financial advisor should do. They should be well educated, well, you know, experienced, credentialed. And they should be independent and give you fiduciary advice, and that's what a doctor does. And so that's how we patterned ourselves in 1990, and then 1995 went fully fee-only as a fiduciary. And we do financial physicals. It takes about two meetings. Our fee is $2,500 for a financial physical, but number one, we don't charge for the physical, as we say in our commercials, until you go through the full process and see the final product and decide, was this really beneficial to you? Why do we do that? We do that because there's so much sales going on in this industry. We want to demonstrate what we believe true financial planning should be. And also, we guarantee that if a client wants to work with us as their comprehensive advisor long term, we credit the financial physical into the long term relationship. And that, how does that get billed? Well, that depends on what the client's situation is and what they want from us long term and so forth. So we try to make it as easy as possible that people can see and experience it without the risk of what exactly are they getting into from a financial viewpoint. I hope that helped.
And you're in almost all financial physicals with a couple of other folks.
And I do the financial physical with almost every financial physical with an associate advisor and a full relationship manager. The full relationship manager is credentialed, experienced, and educated. The associate advisor is like the intern in medicine. They're getting their credentials. They're finished their education, but they're getting their experience and their credentials now. And so that's the way we patterned our company, and that's why we trademarked the name Financial Physical, because we patterned our whole company after how doctors in general practitioners work.
There you go.
I got it out. That was pretty good. All right, Nicholas?
Yeah, thank you very, very much. It was very insightful.
All right, buddy. Thanks for your call. And that wasn't my brother calling in.
Right.
We're going to Gene in Columbia. Gene.
Drew, concerning this coronavirus, this is the one thing I've not heard of. They said today that there's 14 confirmed cases in the United States.
Right.
Well, it's been confirmed that way for at least 2 to 3 weeks. What is the status of these people who were confirmed? How long are they going to have to stay in quarantine? And have anybody been released saying, oh, they've gotten over it? I have not heard a bit about that.
Yeah, you know, I can't say that I've ever heard it either. I have heard that 2 weeks is the quarantine period, that if at the end of 2 weeks there are no more symptoms and no more fever and so forth, and that's when they release them. I don't understand why 2 weeks is the magical time, but that's the best I've heard. But you're right. I haven't heard that John Doe had the virus and now is completely clear of the virus and he's living a perfectly normal life. You know, you don't hear that.
I heard the 2 week quarantine had to do with people that were coming back from the Chinese area, that Chinese area that was affected and didn't have the symptoms at the time, but they were put in 2 week quarantine for a, and some of them have been released, but I have not heard that anybody that actually was confirmed with it has been released.
Yeah.
And how do they know when they're okay?
Yeah. And that's part of the misunderstanding that's going on right now. You hear about 100 million people in China are quarantined and cities in Italy are quarantined and people running around with surgical masks and so forth. And the public's just scared right now. But as far as I can tell from everything we're reading, and we get a lot of intelligence research that we can look at, you know, it's not it's serious. But it's not the end of the world in any way, shape, or form. We're not going to have like the 1917 influenza outbreak, which killed, what, 25% of the population of the world or something ridiculous like that?
So USA Today published something on the 20th.
yeah,
and said, first American recovered from coronavirus in Washington State.
Okay. So he's fully recovered and so forth. And
first man who's the nation's first confirmed case of the new coronavirus has made a full recovery and is no longer quarantined, health officials announced.
Good. I missed that.
Yeah.
Well, at least they have.
That's a good question. There's a lot of things you'd like government to do. For example, I'd like to hear the world organizations come out along with China saying we're going to make a pledge that we're going to do whatever it takes to make sure that we don't have another one of these SARS or coronaviruses come out of these wet markets or whatever the case may be,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It would be good to hear. Anyway, good point, Gene.
Thank you.
But, our focus is on investments and, we're not world health people.
Oh, no. Yeah. But
Jim in Pasadena, how can we help you?
Hi, I have a question about taking a sabbatical. I'm planning on doing a 2-year sabbatical in about a year with my family.
Cool.
Is there anything as far as, like, tax strategies? I mean, I've thought about selling stocks while I don't have an income so that I can do the 0% capital gains and kind of just reinvest it. Is there anything else I should be thinking about to take advantage of not having income?
Oh, how old are you approximately?
40.
40? Okay. So, you have to make sure you have a very thorough budget and, cash flow analysis as to, how much do you think you're going to need to live on for these next 2 years? And then you want to lay out some really thorough tax strategies like you were just talking about as to how am I going to get the money with the least amount of taxation on it. For example, let's say you don't have a lot of taxable income during that period of time. You may be able to take some money out of traditional IRAs and pay the 10% penalty on it because you know that after taxes, it's going to be all wiped out with the, how many children do you have?
4.
And how old are they, youngest to oldest?
5 to 10.
5 to what?
10.
So you've got $8,000 worth of darlings there. $8,000 worth of children darlings.
Just tax deduction wise. Otherwise, it's probably unlimited value.
But that's $8,000, a little tax deduction.
There you go.
And I'm not talking deductions. I should say cash, tax cash.
Credits.
That's credits. That's, so you could generate probably close to, I guess, maybe $80,000 of income. And those children would wipe out $80,000 of taxes. Income. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And actually, if you think about it, the long-term capital gains, you'd have to focus on, which is better, wiping out the income taxation on IRAs or taking the long-term capital gains at the 0% rate
you
up
get
to
the penalty, though,
up to
IRAs.
80. Yeah, but it's just 10% if he doesn't pay any income tax,
Sure.
And then you've got state tax. And are you going to keep your house in Pasadena?
Nope.
Are you going to sell it?
We rent.
Oh, you rent.
We'll just be overseas traveling.
Okay. There's an issue you got to be really careful of overseas. You've got to make sure you get your medical situation well figured out because most medical insurance isn't going to cover you overseas. And so you've got to make sure you either buy travel policies for the overseas travel or you make sure your company absolutely will cover foreign travel medical care. All right. So that's a really important one. A good website for this, Jim? LiveAndInvestOverseas.com. Kathleen Pettacore, she's one of the best in just education of how to do what you're talking about. And she even gives counseling, she gives one-on-one counseling if you wanted it. You talk about the countries you want to go to, and she probably has the people and the experiences to help you with that. Live and invest overseas. That's just a few things I could think of, okay?
Yeah, thanks very much.
All right, buddy. Good. Good for him,
Sure.
I think it's great, you know. And that was a great lead in there, the Rocky theme song for him, Victory in his sabbatical,
He's a connoisseur of music, and so he takes that very—
I understand.
He takes—
That's
yeah, it's
good.
Hard to take when you mix that song with Rocky. This is the guy who saw all five. I
got to go to traffic, you know, but I got to let everyone know we're on an open show. We don't have anybody online for the second half of the show. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. Take it away, traffic.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Isn't this, you are the rainstorm of my life? This guy's got it wrong. Where'd this guy come from?
He's a flash in the pan.
Really? You know?
Yep.
He doesn't even know the words to the song.
One hit wonder.
You're the rainstorm of my life.
Before he continues singing, we're going to say Stevie Wonder.
Stevie who? I wonder who that is. Anyway, I'm going to put my glasses on to see who's calling in here. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. You got a couple callers online, but we've got plenty of time left before the end of the show to answer some more questions. We're going to Jim in Ruthsburg. We know where Ruthsburg is now because Jim told us last time he called in a few months ago. Jim, what can we do for you?
Yeah, these ads that the banks are sending out for zero interest for 18 months, and I've read the fine print. You got to pay 3% up front, so you're really paying 3%. But if you have a 10% credit card debt, let's say $20,000.
Right.
Let's say you get your tax return, is it better to throw the whole tax return against the debt or parlay that tax return over 18 months?
Okay, so let me just clarify what you're saying. Okay, so if somebody has credit card debt and you get a thing from a bank that says, get our credit card, transfer your balance over to us, and we won't charge you interest for a certain period of time, and maybe there's an upfront fee or maybe there's not or whatever, you're saying, should I do that or should I just use my refund to pay down some of my credit card debt, right?
Right.
Okay. So first off, keep in mind that when you're doing those 0% interest transfers, every time you do it, you're dinging your credit report. You're dinging your credit report. So the credit companies, now it's not going to totally destroy your credit, but when you transfer a balance from one bank over to another where you get a 0% interest rate, you're dinging your credit report. So just keep that in mind. That's number one factor to keep in mind. Number two factor to keep in mind is that remember that if you miss something and you don't do whatever the rules are in this 0% loan, that all of a sudden, retroactively, they can bring you back to a certain interest rate on that loan retroactively, and that could be very dangerous. I'm not a fan of the 0%, but if somebody is really into trying to administratively control that without blowing their credit report up, God bless you, but I would prefer to see my clients get debt-free, use their refunds to do a logical way to get out of debt as fast as possible. And remember, the way you get out of debt, Jim, is you take you list out whatever debt you have, you list out your highest interest rates and your lowest balance at the highest interest rate. You pay off the lowest balance ones first and focus on paying them off, because then that frees up extra cash flow to pay off other high interest rate loans, and you pay off all your high interest rate loans as fast as possible, and you only pay low interest rate loans at the least amount possible. And then once you get those paid off, you concentrate more and more cash flow toward the next highest interest rate and just keep doing that until you can eliminate any debt you have outstanding. I want my clients to be debt-free, and 0% interest is still a debt, and I don't want them to have that. All right?
Okay. Yeah, you answered the question. That's great.
All right, buddy. Good question.
Yeah. I can throw all that stuff in the file.
Okay, throw it in. Circular file there, Jim.
All
All right?
All right.
They're smart people over there in Ruthburg. I like that, you know? They're reading the fine print. You know, how often does anybody do that? And that's a good thing. He knew all the tricks they were trying to pull on him. Rick in Annapolis, how are we going to help you?
Well, I had a question about the equity that I have in my house that I own. I don't have a mortgage on it anymore.
Okay.
And so I'm looking ahead to when I retire. What's the best way to first protect that equity so that it does, so that if somewhere down the road for health reasons or whatever, I end up in a nursing home or something like that, that I can keep that equity and not have it.
So that's an interesting question and not a simple one. So let me start with asking, you're single or married?
Married.
Married. Okay. So first off, your house worth more than $750,000?
No.
Okay. So first off, your house is a protected asset between you and your wife. Okay. So let's say you have a $750,000 house and there's no mortgage on it, and your wife or you go into a nursing home, neither spouse would have to worry at all about selling that house to pay for nursing care, because if your assets get to a certain place, your house is a protected asset along with a car, along with at least $125,000 of assets. So from a married point of view, the answer is it's a protected asset. Now, you might go on further and you say, well, what about for my children? Well, that's a different story. Now it gets a little more complicated. So in order to protect it for your children, it would take a lot more sophisticated planning, and you'd have to transfer the ownership of the house to the children 5 years before you would need nursing care assistance. How old are you approximately, Rick?
I'll be 62 on my next birthday.
Okay. So, you know, one of the questions is, you and your wife have never bought long-term care insurance?
No.
Okay. So would you and your wife ever consider moving into an independent living community?
Not unless we had to.
I'm talking about a nice independent living community. Now, you know, a lot of people, when they hear somebody say independent living communities, they think of the places that their parents are at, like Oakcrest or Charlestown or some of those ones down in Annapolis. But I'm talking about the ones that are going to be available when you and I really get to be in our 70s or so. They're going to be like Marriott's. Like a cross between a Harvard and a Marriott all in one. You know, they're not going to attract people by bringing the institutions that our parents are staying at right now. So
sure they won't.
Yeah. So if you're not really looking at that, so, you know, you would have to transfer that house to the children 5 years before. But here's the catch. OK, so let's say you bought your, or do you live in Annapolis proper?
No, I'm not in the city of Annapolis. I'm in Anne Arundel County.
Well, Anne Arundel County has been a pretty vibrant county. And if you've lived in that house a good while, have you?
I have.
Okay. So you probably paid maybe $150,000, $200,000 for your house, and it could be worth $500,000, $600,000, right?
It's a little high on both numbers, but yeah, I've been in it for a long time. There's a lot of equity.
There's a lot of equity. So if you transfer that into a trust, there's a chance that if that house were ever sold during your lifetime, that house could be taxable to that trust, whereas if you hold it in your name, it would be 100% tax-free because it's your principal residence, okay?
Up to $500,000.
Right. Up to $500,000. And so, you see, so when you say what you're saying, how do I protect the house, there's a push and a shove with everything you do. You try to protect it for long-term care planning, you may end up paying income taxes, capital gains tax, on something that would have been tax-free. If you go for the tax-free status and keep it for income tax purposes, you may make it available for the long-term care situation. So there's no perfect answer to your question. It's a very complex one that has to be thought out very carefully. And what I would suggest is, while you're married, you be very careful about what you do. If one of you were to die And the survivor then, if you still want to protect the house, the survivor should think about these types of strategies and look and seek out good elder care legal advice.
Okay. Good.
I mean, I didn't give you an absolute answer, but I gave you the best I can in the short period of time we have. You just have to be.
There is an absolute answer.
There is not. And you're going to don't let anybody fool you into if you say to them, I want to do this. There are plenty of lawyers who would just march you right in their office. Boom, 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 boom. Here you go. Rick, have a good life. And I'm saying that would be a major mistake without looking at all the things that they just did that could hurt you as well as what it just did to help you. All right.
Good.
All right,
okay,
buddy.
Great.
Take care.
Thank
Good
you.
Question. We're going into the last quarter of our show. No one's online for the last quarter. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. If you want to call in right now, I've got to go to traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you can trust and help you through all stages of life? Having a team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs gives us the ability to help you prepare your tax return, strategize to help you minimize tax liability, help you visualize and reach your retirement goals, and help guide you in every other facet of personal financial planning. We demonstrate these abilities every Wednesday night on our radio show, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Have you been wanting a second opinion? Then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your Financial Physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE or go online to financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBN.
We're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. And we're on an open show. We got a couple callers online, so we're going to go to them so we don't miss their questions before the end of the show. Chuck in Columbia, how can we help you?
Hey, I'm thinking of buying a house as a principal residence, and I've heard there were changes in the tax laws about the deductibility of mortgage interest.
Well, that's not true.
There was some limit, like $750,000.
Well, that is true. But you know, are you planning to buy a home that costs more than $750,000?
No.
Okay. Well, then you don't have to worry about that. It's only the $750,000, Chuck, is if you do a mortgage. In other words, if I buy $1.5 million house and I borrow $1 million to mortgage on that house and I borrow $1 million, I'm only able to deduct 75% of the interest because $750,000 is the limit. I took out $1 million, so that's 75% of what the limit is, 75% of the mortgage I took out. So if I do $10,000 in interest, I only get $7,500 deducted. But if you're not buying a house with $750,000 mortgage, you don't have to worry about that, number one. Number two, if you buy a house, the way that the itemized deductions work now is, are you married or single, Chuck?
I'm currently single. However, a year from now, I might be married.
Okay. While you're single, are you over 65 or under 65?
I am over.
Over 65. So your standard deduction would be $13,600 and probably a little more than that right now with the adjustment this year, right, Chris? $12,200, right? So plus $1,600. So what's that? $13,800 this year. So the standard deduction is $13,800. While you're single, you'll probably easily itemize your deductions with a new mortgage, with the $10,000 state and local income taxes and any charitable giving you do. So I don't, you know, unless you're buying a very, very, very expensive house, I don't see any big difference for you. Now, when you get married, your standard deduction will shoot all the way up to $25,800 or $26,000. Now, that could make a difference if you'll be able to deduct or not. Am I making of that clear?
Yeah, that's all clear.
Oh, good. I'm glad, because I confused myself sort of when I was saying that. But anyway, I don't think you have anything to worry about. If you really think it's a good house to buy and you'll be happy with it and it's cheaper than renting, then you should buy the house and not worry about what the taxes do. Okay? Okay.
That's good. Thank you for your information.
All right, buddy. You take care. It did, you know, with the new standard deduction, it does make it a little more complicated because it doesn't necessarily assure that you're going to get a tax deduction on your itemized deductions like you used to.
Right.
Because your standard deduction is so high. Catherine in Graysonville, how can we help you?
Hi. My question is on long-term health care insurance.
Okay.
From what I understand, the traditional insurance is very expensive right now because they're trying to cover losses of the current policies that they have out there that aren't covering the I know my parents paid nothing for their long-term health care and we're benefiting it from it. But my husband and I'm late 50s, he's early 60s. We want to buy a policy, but, you know, do we buy a traditional? Do we buy like a whole life type? Do you know?
So you got to, you know, here's the thing. This is a complicated question you're asking, okay? And there's no simple, easy answer. But I want you to think about this logically and take the insurance agents out of the equation. Because insurance agents irritate the heck out of me when they present long-term care insurance to people. Because the insurance agent's job is to get people to say yes to what they're doing. And one of the ways they do that is they try to overcome objections. That's what you're taught as a salesperson. And I know this because I was in that industry for the first 12 years or so of my career. I was trained as a salesperson. And what they teach you over and over is learn how to overcome objections. So if somebody says, well, I'm not going to do that because what if I pay all that money out for that policy and never use it? That's a waste of money. So that's an objection. So how do you overcome that? You say, well, look, I'm going to turn it into a life insurance policy. And if you die, your family's going to get the money back or more. And if you live and you use the long term, you'll get your money back when you use the long term care insurance, da, 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 da. And everybody's happy and they use this stuff to overcome objections. But here's the point. If traditional long-term care insurance, the one that just pays the long-term care bill, is becoming too expensive for the average person to buy and it's and they're having a lot of losses, why does anybody think logically that they would be able to provide a life insurance policy to you that when you die, they're going to give you a lump sum of cash back and still provide the same type of protection and coverage for your long-term care? It doesn't make any economic sense that they would be able to do that. If A is too expensive, then there's something about B that it overcomes the objection, but it's not going to give you what you need to protect that risk. It's going to give you something, but it's not going to give you what you need to protect that risk. And so the issue of long-term care is we teach our clients is everyone needs a long-term care plan. In other words, what's my strategy? Like we were just talking to the guy about his house. What's my strategy? Am I going to put the house into a trust and leave it and protect it for my children and hope that I live 5 years without needing long-term care? Is that my strategy I'm going to use? And or am I going to count on the government to come in and pay the bills and hope that the government's still able to do that? Am I going to buy long-term care insurance? Am I going to go into, like I asked the person earlier, how about going into an independent living community? Do you know that if you go into an independent living community, most independent living communities will protect you and guarantee you that if you ever run out of money, they'll continue to care for you. You know, so independent living communities have a lot of benefits, but people have negative impressions about what independent living communities are because they see what their parents were going to or their older friends were going to in today's world. But when we get older, independent living communities are going to have to market to baby boomers, and baby boomers aren't going to go to the institutions that our parents went to. We're going to go to resort-type places. These are going to be independent living communities that are run by places like Marriott or something of that, but we'll have the full long-term care and assisted living for us if we need it. And if you can afford something like that, that's a strategy you could – that's a plan you could put in place. Do you have children that you could count on? You know, that's something that you have to think about. So there's no easy answer to this, but I am very skeptical of the insurance agents promoting all these alternative products that they're coming across. Like, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread. I just heard a new one today. There's a new product coming where you're going to, like, in your 40s or 50s, put up $50,000 or $100,000, and then that policy or that investment will then be there and guaranteeing you that if you go into a long-term care facility immediately or anywhere as you get older and older, there's going to be even more money there guaranteed for you to go into the long-term care facility and pay for it. And I know what I'm going to see when I look at this thing, and I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's going to be different, and we just have to be very thoughtful about the economics and not be sold
right,
into
but we
the—
we encourage people to consider partially insuring for long-term care.
Absolutely, but mm-hmm. it's how you do it yep. and not be sold into a policy by an agent who's looking to make a sale,
sure.
but make sure that you have an objective analysis and you do it without emotions. And this is another thing that drives me crazy about long-term care insurance agents is they're promoting statistics that are designed to create fear in people. And I think we have to be very careful about statistics that are thrown around because the statistics are true. They're just misleading. That's the problem I have with them. Anyway, I didn't answer your question either necessarily, but I gave you an earful about how to think about long-term care.
Okay.
Find yourself somebody independent that'll help you go through the economics of the analysis and come up with a strategy or a plan that works for you and your spouse.
Okay.
All right?
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. You take care. Yeah, it's a tough – it's a very difficult issue, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a serious one, but –
You and know? Everyone has, and most people we find have fairly strong opinions.
Yeah, but you know, insurance agents, they overcome objections, and the new policies they have coming out helps to overcome those objections. That's their job.
Sure.
And what your job is as a true advisor should be, how do I help you come up with the best plan for you that will truly protect the risk? And that's what we have to think about. Anyway, Chris, we're out of time.
We are.
What's coming up next week? Do you know? I have no idea.
There's a guest.
There is a guest next week, and I don't remember who it is, though. But if I did, I would have told them, wouldn't I? And anyway, James Taylor, I can't remember the name.
There you go, Shower the People.
Shower the People with Love. See? I got that one right. Anyway, it's Drew Tignatelli saying God bless.